Good morning, Miracle Life Family Church. We're so glad that you could join us this morning from wherever you are. And we're glad that we have an opportunity to listen to God's Word. The Bible says that this is the day that the Lord has made and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Well, we continue in the series, The Words and Works of Jesus. And so it's been a wonderful time. I hope you have been taking time reading through the Gospels that we've been reading right now in the book of Luke. I hope you've continued to do that. I think it's been wonderful, and we get to learn a lot more. Well, this morning I'd like to share a few things regarding the life of Jesus and a few things that Jesus showed us, things that we can learn from the life of Jesus. And so one important thing, and I'd like to open this sermon with a statement, is that when God made us, He made us not to live isolated. God's plan for our lives was that we should live in community, but then also in relationships. That was God's design when He made us. It's the more reason why even when He saw that man was alone, He said it is not good for man to be alone, and He made him a helpmate. Not only that, God desired to have fellowship with man, and constantly God would visit Adam in the garden, I'm sure, to have fellowship with man. And so the first relationship that is important in our lives is a relationship with God. The relationship with God. And so I would like us to see something important here. It's the more reason why we see in the book of Genesis how that when God tells a man to say, you shall not eat of the fruit of this tree. And the moment you do that, or the moment you eat of it, you will die. And you see, the word there, death, or the idea of death in that scripture symbolizes or talks about separation. It simply means separation in this case. So death is simply but separation. And so that is why death can be classified in threefold. Death can be classified in threefold in terms of there is physical death, which is separation from the body. It is physical death. It is separation from the body. There is also what is known as spiritual death, which is separation from God. One is not in tune with God. That is why somebody who's lost, somebody, the Bible talks about you would die. And this is the death that God was talking about in the garden when He was giving instructions to Adam to say you would die. And the death was spiritual because he would be separated from God. There is also the third death, which is eternal death. And this is an eternal separation from God, where one is separated, yes, from the body, but also from God permanently. And sad to say, there are many people who are experiencing eternal death even right now as we speak, because they refuse to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But we thank God that you did accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you have not and you're watching this, we'll give you an opportunity at the end of this service to give your life to Jesus so that you will not be eternally separated from God, but you will be with God. So why is it important that God talked about separation? Because He desired that we live in relationship with Him, not separated from Him, but we live in communion, in fellowship with Him. And that is why God designed man to live that way. You've heard of the saying people talk about man, no man is an island, simply because we identify and know that we need each other. We need to fellowship together. We need to pray for one another. We need to strengthen one another. And so today, we will specifically look at the best example of a relationship with God. The best example of a relationship with God. And this is one that has been molded for us that we should follow. This is the relationship with God that when we look at it, we should also learn and begin to emulate that and walk like that. And this is the relationship between Jesus and the Father. And that's why this morning I'll be looking at Jesus' relationship with the Father. We'll look at a passage of scripture that is amazing, because until you get into the meat of it, you begin to realize that there's lots of information that depict the relationship that Jesus had with the Father. And so we'll see Jesus himself in how he responded, certain attributes that he had even in his relationship with the Father. And we will be able to pick out those and be able to relate with God in such a way. So John chapter 5 and verse 17. John chapter 5 and verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but he has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear the voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing," Jesus emphasizes. "As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." This morning we'll look at five attributes or five things we can learn from Jesus' relationship with his Father, as we've seen in John chapter 5 and 17. And I encourage you later on to read this passage by yourself. Then you'll be able to look into the relationship that Jesus had with the Father and how that it had a great impact and was a great example for us. Jesus, when he came on earth, he was modeling the way we should live. And that's why we're looking at this series, so that how did Jesus live his life? And how can we emulate that and live our lives today? The first point I'd like to give you this morning is that Jesus is a reflection of the Father. Jesus is a reflection of the Father. In fact, the very scripture we read at the beginning said, Jesus works as his Father works. It's the more reason why the Jews wanted to even kill him, because why? He said, God is my Father. And that meant that he was equal with God. Jesus imitates his Father. He does what he sees his Father do. Jesus said, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." And he also said this, "The Son can do nothing." Meaning to say what? He only does what he sees his Father doing. And we saw that in John 5, verse 17 and 19. Jesus reflected the will of the Father on the earth. And so if you are a Christian, like we looked at a couple of weeks ago, to say the early church were first called Christians because they were seen to be like small Christs. So it means that if you are a Christian today, it means that you are a follower of Jesus. And it means that you ought to emulate what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He reflected the will of the Father. What did he do? He was the reflection, and he is the reflection of the Father. So I have a question for you, child of God. You being a Christian today, can the people in your network and your community say that you are a reflection of the Father? Oh, you're a misrepresentation of God the Father. So as we live our lives today, we ought to live them in such a way that we ourselves are the gospel. We preach the gospel. Because the truth is this, for some people, you are the only Jesus they will know on this earth in the beginning. Because why? When they meet you, they need to have an encounter with God. They need to see the love of God. Why is that so? The Bible says that the goodness of the Lord draws men to repentance. But how do people experience the goodness of the Lord? It is through us, children of God, who show forth the Father, who show forth the goodness of the Father. That is why we ought to be a reflection of the Father. We should not be people that cause others to reject God because of how we live our lives today. The second point is this. Jesus is dependent on the Father. Jesus is dependent on the Father. He said he could do nothing of his own accord in verse 19 of John chapter 5. Jesus was God, 100% God, 100% man. And so, as part of the Trinity, he was part of the Trinity, and yet he was submissive in his human role or in his human being as a son of man walking on the planet of the earth. Jesus, walking in humility before his Father, he depended on the Father for what he did. You would hear Jesus pull away from everybody and just pray and talk to God, seeking God's direction, seeking his will regarding things. And that is how it ought to be. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not part of your heart, not certain areas of your heart, because sometimes we are strong in certain areas regarding trusting God. But there are certain areas of our lives, sometimes we struggle to trust God. It might be healing, it might be provision. Maybe you're trusting God for healing and you think, oh, I know God will heal me. And you've seen God heal you. But what about your finances? What about regarding your job? Are you trusting the Lord? Jesus depended on God for everything. And it's the more reason why he could say, I do nothing unless I see my Father do it. Unless I see my Father do it. Trust in the Lord today, regardless of whatever situation it is. Trust in the Lord. Why can you trust him? He is faithful. He is true. He never changes. The Bible says he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Meaning to say, if yesterday he did miracles, he would do miracles today and he would do miracles tomorrow as well. Trust him. He's never failed, and he is not starting to fail today. No. In fact, the Bible says that, behold, you created the heavens and the earth by your great arm, by your great power and outstretched arm. Is there anything that is too difficult for you? There is nothing that is difficult with God. There is nothing that is impossible with God. Trust him. And not only trust him, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It is God. It's the reason why we are here today, because of God. And we can testify that he's Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Acknowledge the Lord in your life. Acknowledge him. Let him be involved. Let him be at the center of your life. Let him be at the center of your marriage. Acknowledge God, and he shall direct your paths. What does that mean? God is available, willing to help you. Very much there. But as long as you are not acknowledging him, and as long as you do not invite him into the situation, nothing will happen. It's the more reason why sometimes people say, if God knows I'm in trouble, why doesn't he just wake and just do it and work it out for me, because he knows I'm a child of God? Well, God does not respond to needs. He responds to faith. Because if he was responding to needs, there will be no needs on the earth. But he responds to faith, that when you have a need in your life, you can reach out in faith, acknowledging him, trusting him. Then he responds to your faith and you see God at work in your life. Trust the Lord. Acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And so, if you want to succeed in life, depend on God. He will lead you. He will guide you. He sees the end from the beginning. Wouldn't you want to have somebody who knows where you're going? Let's say you want to go to Chipata, you've never been there. Wouldn't you want to be with someone in the vehicle, travel with somebody who's been there before? Lest you take the wrong turn or go to Luango or turn somewhere, go to the wrong place. You want to be with someone who's been there. But Jesus knows the end from the beginning. Trust Him. He will lead you in the right path. Trust Him. Lean not on your own understanding. And greater works than these you will do. Greater works than these, Jesus says, you will do. But that will only happen when you trust God. Jesus was so sure. He was so sure. He knew and He trusted the works of His Father. He trusted the works of His Father, and He trusted the fact that whatever God said will come to pass. Whatever the Father did will come to pass. He trusted His Father. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1, it says, He watches over His word to perform it. God stays true to His word. He stays true to His word. And so trust Him. Trust Him. That is why Jesus could do what He did. He depended on the Lord. He depended on His Father. The third thing, Jesus has faith and had faith and still has faith in the Father's love for Him. Jesus had faith in the Father's love for Him. The scripture we read in John chapter 5, verse 20 says, "For the Father loves the Son." The Father loves the Son. This is where Jesus' security came from. Knowing that I am loved by my Father. Do you know today that you are loved by God? Do you know that? Or maybe you've heard about it, or you've heard of it, but you don't believe it. I came to remind you, I came to tell you, child of God, this morning, that God loves you. He really does. And the Bible says that He demonstrated this love, that while we were still yet sinners, Jesus came and died for you and me. He demonstrated the love. Even before we loved Him, He loved us. The Bible says, you loved us first before we even loved you. God loves you. And Jesus was secure in knowing that I am loved by the Father. I am loved by the Father. This is where He got His security. This is where He got His assurance. He didn't put His faith in human beings wanting to seek approval, wanting to get validation or wanting to get affirmation from people. No. He didn't care about the opinions of men, and we could see how Jesus would respond to different people, how He spoke to them. He didn't care about that. Because why? He understood one thing. Jesus did not even entrust His life with people. Because why? His validation came from knowing that He is loved by the Father. He is loved by the Father. God spoke to Him audibly, affirming and validating His Son. In Matthew 3 and verse 13 to 17, He says that, and in fact, in Matthew 3, it was even before Jesus did any ministry. The Father said, "This is my Son. This is my Son." He loved Him. Today, God is saying, "You are my Son, you are my daughter, I love you." That is what He's saying. God spoke to Jesus. In Matthew 17 and verse 5 to 8, He says, He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. They saw no one but Jesus only. And I like to say this. Don't be an approval addict, seeking approval from people for you to feel good about yourself. For you to even step into whatever God has called you, you're just thinking, no, I can't do it. I'm not sure if that person will approve of it. If God approves of it, go step into your call. Step into what God has called you to do. Get your approval from God, knowing that He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Regardless of what you've done, God still loves you. There is nothing that you can do that can cause God to love you less or love you more. He loves you the way you are. Yes, with your flaws, He loves you. It's the reason why He sent Jesus to die for you and for me. It's not like we had a board meeting with God and told Him, say, okay, can you send Jesus to die for us to set us free from that? No. When we were lost, when we were in sin, He showed us that He loves us. And He sent Jesus to set us free. No greater love that anybody has given than that. We can even say in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He loved us so much that He sent His Son. Get your approval, get your affirmation, get your validation from God. Because this is it. If you always get your approval from men, if your validation, your self-worth comes from what people say about you, what about the day that they are not there to affirm you? What happens? What about the day that they don't affirm you, even for something that you strongly believe that you ought to do and stand for? What happens? Man can fail you, but God will not fail you. He stays true to His word. He stays true. And that's why Jesus got His confidence in knowing that I am loved by God. You are loved by God, child of God. Know this. Even if you made a mistake yesterday, even if you messed up yesterday, even if you messed up this very morning, you are loved by God. Come to Him and He will help you. Come to Him. Number four, Jesus trusts and has confidence in His Father. This is something different. He trusts but also has confidence in His Father. Jesus was saying, and greater works than these He will show. Will He show Him so that you may marvel? That is in John 5 and verse 20. Jesus was sure He knew and He trusted that the works of His Father and the works that the Father told Him will come to pass. Remember when Jesus was raising Lazarus from the dead, He said what? He says, Father, I thank You that You hear me. You hear me always. Always. Meaning to say, whatever the Father had said, Jesus was very sure that the Father would do it. What has God said in your life? Are you still holding on to His word that is so true, that is so sure? His word says that indeed, no, 1,000 shall fall on your side, 10,000 on your right side. And He says, no evil shall come near your dwelling place, because only with your eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked. Do you believe that word, that you will not live your life in fear even when you go to bed? Child of God, His word is true. Trust His word and have confidence that His Father, whatever He said, will come to pass. Jesus was so sure that He even declared that my Father will send you another comforter, the promise of the Holy Spirit. He was so sure, and the Holy Spirit came. Today, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Why? Jesus was so sure. Henceforth, He declared what the Father had said. What has God said in your life? For some of us, there might have been a word that God had given us. There might have been, maybe it might have been a word of knowledge or a prophetic word that was said in our lives. And sometimes because things seem to be going the wrong way or things seem to be getting worse than getting better, we seemingly letting go of what He said. Child of God, I want to encourage you this morning. Hold on to God's word. Hold on to what He said, because this word never changed. The Bible says that everything will pass away, but His word will still remain. Hold on to what God said. Have confidence. Trust the Father. Trust the words of the Father. So if He said you are the healed of the Lord, receive your healing this very minute. Receive it, because why? The Father said it. Trust Him. Have confidence in His word. If He said that yes, He will set you free from whatever captivity, trust the word of the Father and He will set you free. Trust the Father. And this is the relationship that Jesus has with the Father. Having confidence in the Father. Trust Him. He will come true to His word. And number five, and the last one. When in need of help, He opened up to the Father. When in need of help, He opened up to the Father. I'd like to read a scripture in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and told his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him, and he began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for an hour? Keep watching and praying so that you do not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cup cannot pass away unless I drink from it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. Behold, the one who is betraying me is near." When in need of help, he opened up to the Father. This was not a simple assignment. He was going to die. And the Bible says he was grieved and greatly distressed. And in this moment, he comes to the Father and say, "Father, let this cup pass me if it is possible. But later on, not my will, let your will be done." When faced with death, Jesus opened up to the Father. Jesus opened up to God. He talked to God about the situation that he had. This is a great example for us, that even when in trouble, even when faced with things that are depressing or distressing us, we should not isolate and run away from God. We should run to God and open up to him and say, "Father, I need your help." Many times we see believers, sometimes even when they mess up, they run away from church. They run away from people that can help them. That is not God's will. Let us see the example that Jesus had. He ran to God and prayed, seeking help, because God is willing to help you. He says, "Call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things." Trust the Lord. When you've messed up, come to him. He says, "Come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's calling you. Come. Come to him. Don't run away. Come to him. For someone listening to me and watching this morning, coming and running to God means you need to pick up your phone, call the church line and call for counseling, call for help. There is somebody willing to help you. For some of you, it might be you need to talk to somebody who's next to you, or you need to call somebody and ask them to say, "Come, I need to talk to you about something." Talk to a believer, somebody mature who can help you with the word of God, who can help you get back to God. Or maybe you've been living sin, you've been lost. Come back to the Father. Like the prodigal son, come back. In fact, he's not judging you and condemning you. He loves you. He's saying, "Come, I want to help you. Come, I want to help you." The mistake we make is this, is that we most of the time run away from God, thinking, "Let me fix myself, then I'll come back to church, then I'll come back to the Lord." No, 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 no. With the mud that you have, with the mess that you have, with all the filth that we've put ourselves in, let us come to him. He's the one that will cleanse us. He says, if we confess of our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As I conclude this morning, I'd like to say this. This life that we see in our Jesus and how he related with the Father, let's emulate it. Let's emulate it. Let's live like Jesus did with the Father. God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to have a relationship with you. And so,
I'd like you to do this in your own time. For some of you, you probably need to pray this. You need to pray, Lord, show me what I must change. Show me what I must do to make my relationship with the Father as much like Jesus' relationship with you. Some of you probably need to pray, Lord, help me reflect Jesus in every possible way. Holy Spirit, help me to love like Jesus. Help me to depend on you, God, in the same way Jesus depended on the Father. Help me to have faith in Jesus' love for me. Make me secure in your love. Let my security come from Jesus' love, knowing that the Father loves me, and not the acceptance or the rejection of people. My security should come from you, Father. Some of you need to pray, Lord, help me to learn how Jesus worked and show me all that he did so that I can be more conformed to his likeness. Some of you need to pray, give me confidence in Christ's plan for me, for my life. Give me confidence in your plan for my life and give me peace and deliver me from anxiety. Some of you need to pray, Lord, use me. Some of you need to pray, help me not to concern myself with what others say about me, but help me to care only about what you say about me, about what you say regarding my self-worth, regarding knowing that you love me. Thank you, Father. That's something that you probably need to pray today. The attributes we've shared this morning about Jesus' relationship with the Father are great for you to know and to follow. And I'm not saying that these are the only ones, no. And this is what I could share this morning. Jesus gives them to us to follow so that our relationship with the Father can thrive and we can do exploits. Jesus has showed us the way. Let us follow that way. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, we thank you for you demonstrated your love for us, that while we were still yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Thank you that Jesus shows us the example of how our relationship with the Father ought to be. Depending on you, Father, trusting in you, trusting and having confidence in your word, coming to you when we need help. Thank you, Father, getting our affirmation, our validation from you. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Peradventure, you're here and you're listening to me this morning. You've never given your life to Jesus. What I've talked about here, you cannot have a relationship with the Father unless you have accepted Jesus in your life. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. No one goes to the Father except through Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus in your life so that you can have a relationship with the Father. So in case you've not accepted Jesus and you're saying, Pastor, I would like to accept Jesus in my life, I want to give you that opportunity today. Or maybe you're a Christian, you're a backsliding Christian, you've gone away from the Father. It's time to come back home, child of God. It's time to come home. I would like you to pray this prayer after me. Pray it out loud and believe in your heart. And indeed, he will set you free. Pray this prayer. Say, Father, I come to you today. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. I thank you today for making me your child. And I will follow you for the rest of my life. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says there's celebration in heaven. Not only that, you're now a follower of Jesus. You're Christian. You're born again. You are a child of God. God is your Father. And you know what? You can now implement what we've been talking about. You can now have a wonderful relationship with the Father. And now, know this, He loves you and you get your validation, your self-worth, your confidence in knowing that He loves you. And so, if you pray that prayer, we would like to know that you pray that prayer. If you're on Facebook, please, in the comment section, just say, I pray that prayer, and somebody will inbox you. And when they inbox you, they would like to get your contact number so we can call you. We'd like to give you a book. We'd like to pray with you and help you with the steps that you're making. But then also, if you're on YouTube, we would like you to text the number that's on the screen right now. Text the number that's on the screen right now. Say, I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And as you do that, please ensure that you also put your full names in that text. And somebody will reach out to you, will call you. We want to get a book into your hands. We want to give you a book that will help you regarding the decision that you made. And we're so happy that you made that decision. And believe that your life will never be the same again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, at this point in time, we would like to give you an opportunity to give to the Lord. And to give to the Lord and do great and mighty things for Him. We do exploits. One of the ways that we do exploits is that as we give, we're giving in support and supporting the extension of God's kingdom. Lives are changed. We can see when you get to visit the campus, in case you're coming to give your tithe here, you'll be able to see that the buildings are almost done. Things, wonderful things are happening here. We're so excited because you give. This morning I'd like to encourage you. An example that the Father showed us is that He gave us His Son, Jesus. This morning, give. And as you give, we know that you are extending the wonderful work of the Lord and touching many more lives, like many lives are being touched today. And that's why we continue to give. And so there are giving options that are being displayed on the screen right now. Please make use of any one of them. You can use either a bank transfer, you can do a deposit, you can use any mobile money platforms, or you can just come here to church. There's a secure box that you can give there, and you'll be glad that you did give to the Lord. We're so glad that you continue to give to the Lord. Amen. As we close this morning, just want to remind you that, as you heard in the announcements, that we're updating our membership database. And so if you're a member of Miracle Life, you have been coming to Miracle Life, but not only attending service, but you have done the membership class. You have attended the membership class, and you've also signed a membership commitment form, and you're a member of Miracle Life. We would like to encourage you, please go to the website, update your membership, because we've been reaching a lot of you through calls, through texts. And so if you haven't received any text, any call from us, it means, and you're a member, it means that we probably have the wrong information. And so please update your membership information, and we'll be glad that you did. And so in case you have a need in your life, there are wonderful people that would like to pray with you, stand with you in prayer, be it counseling, be it just prayer needs, make use of the numbers on the screen. Call somebody, call those lines, and there's somebody at the end that would like to help you and be a blessing to you. As we go, let us pray together. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for showing us the way. Lord, in the rest of the week and the months and years to come, continue to lead us and guide us. We submit to your will, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your people. Thank you for what you're doing today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you next week.